This is Mae Brussel, and it's part two of World Watchers, program number 772. Now, William Buckley, when he formed the YEF in 1960, had Ronald Reagan on the board, and also Charles Willoughby, whose real name was Carl Biedenbach, who came from the Kriegs Academy under the tutelage of Adolf Hitler at the height of Hitler's grabbing power in the late 30s and just before he invaded Poland. And Mr. Biedenbach became a member of the Young Americans for Freedom, handpicked by William Buckley. So the fact of genocide and the figures of World War II don't speak very well for being worried about 10 million Russians being killed. As a matter of fact, I looked up in the history books of World War II, there's one, an encyclopedia of the World War, another one, an almanac, and it tells about the casualties of people in World War II, and also how the Soviet Union was the object of attack right after Hitler was into power. In fact, the almanac says there is no mystery about the reasons of the German attack on the Soviet Union, which started June 22, 1941. Hitler had always looked on communism as his worst enemy, and he coveted the resources of the Soviet Union. In Mein Kampf, earlier he wrote, "If the Urals, with their immeasurable treasure of raw materials, Siberia with its rich forests, the Ukraine with its limitless grain fields were to lie in Germany, this country under National Socialist leadership would swim in plenty." Now, the result of that war was described, as I say, in the World Almanac, as causing more than 50 million lives, possibly 50 to 80 million lives. And the Young Americans of Freedom also brought in people from Munich, Germany, directly from Germany, and the BND that would have to be tied to the Galen operation and through General Walker and the American Army to Dallas, Fort Worth for the assassination of John Kennedy. And if Mr. William Buckley is worried about the 10 million that Stalin killed in his own country, which doesn't make it right, then he should involve himself in the causes of World War II, where there was at least $2 trillion used and twice as many civilians died. Those were families, women, and children died than those in uniform, soldiers, sailors, and airmen. Twice as many were civilians as soldiers. And what we're leading to with this arms race, and Buckley is part of it, and working with the Vatican as a Knight of Malta, is another war against the Soviet Union. And at the same time, hoping China will join us and find the Soviet Union, we're sending atomic capabilities to China as well as weapons. So the fact that William Buckley is making a movie or presenting a two-part movie at this time is very interesting, and he mentions the Canadian government being part of it, but I'm sure that was at the time Michael Deaver was the lobbyist with the Canadian government and may even have had a part of that movie that was being made. So public broadcasting will have that this week on how the Soviets kill their own, but on the other hand, those very people producing it and putting it on are not concerned about a much larger range of genocide and murders that these people have already done in anticipation also for the next war. Now, there was a very important article published in the New York Times at the end of the month, August the 30th, titled "Jewish Congress Assails U.S. Report." And the subtitle is "Attacks Planned by White House Panel to Give Special Role to Christian Network." And the article says the American Jewish Congress yesterday sharply attacked the recommendation of the White House group that Reverend Pat Robertson's Christian Broadcasting Network be given a special role in fighting the spread of illegal drugs. Ronald Reagan says that's the number one problem in this country. The Christian broadcasting would have a special role. And this article says endowing a particular religious institution with special status undermines the effort to involve all churches equally in the fight against drugs. Edwin Meese, the Attorney General, said of the recommendation, "It is by no means administration policy, but on the other hand, the administration has recommended that through the White House that the problem of drugs be handled primarily by Pat Robertson and the Christian Network." The spokesman, Patrick Corton, described the study group as a staff-level working group whose recommendations have not been considered at any policy-making level of government. People like Thomas Buchanan can work with a study group at a lower level. The panel, officially known as the Private Sector Task Force, is one of several administration committees that have arranged withdrawing proposals to develop a national program against drug abuse. The findings of the panel were meant for internal consideration but were made public last week. There's a 12-page report that states that individual states should be penalized for not doing enough to combat drug abuse that President and Mrs. Nancy Reagan are involved in, which is a major media campaign against drugs, that those states should be penalized if they don't follow up on Ronnie and Nancy's drug program. The specific recommendation prompted the letter from the American Jewish Congress that urged officials to start an education information program through the churches with particular emphasis on Christian Broadcast Network and its constituency. The network is directed by Mr. Pat Robertson, a television evangelist, who recently formed an exploratory committee to test the waters as a possible Republican nomination for president in 1988. His television network is the third largest cable network in the nation, with an audience of 27 to 28 million viewers. The White House panel report was on the verge of being political, adding, "We don't deal with the political here," but Virginia Beach spokesman for Pat Robertson agreed that this tied the political with the religious. In Washington, there was no answer yesterday from the Freedom Council, an organization Mr. Robertson called his political arm. In his statement, Mr. Baum of the American Jewish Congress supported the notion of involving religious institutions in fighting against illegal drug use. "Solving this massive and urgent problem requires the involvement of all major elements of the society, including government, the media, schools, and church. By assigning a special responsibility to the Christian Broadcast Network, an integral part of Reverend Robertson's religious mission, the task force was singled out to the nation so far that the White House is concerned that they should be the people noticeably fighting the drug war. The Robertson and his church then enjoy a unique place among the American religions because they have been identified, as I say, by the White House as to be the leaders of the drug war, and it gives him a prominence. He just got money from the Justice Department for a conference with blacks, about $34,000, and Pat Robertson is being promoted by people in the White House for the next position by giving him a prominent display on his television station with so many viewers, 27 million, nobody has a chance to be more exposed to the public, and it's similar to Ronald Reagan being in General Electric Theater and running against a candidate who doesn't have that kind of identity. Now, a organization you've heard of, People for the American Way, sent a letter to members, including a friend who's a listener, World Watchers, that she shared with me, on the political campaign coming up, of which Pat Robertson says that he may want to run for president of the United States. And this is put out for Iowa Republican Caucus, and it's dated February 86. How to participate in a political party. It's marked confidential, and the importance of it was explained by the People for American Way. These are the instructions on running political parties, and keep in mind that Pat Robertson is ready to throw out the Constitution. He doesn't believe the people have to take orders from the Constitution, and all the other things that he's been saying that people haven't taken seriously, they better think about. So this is a sheet for a particular area or state, but I'm sure because of the way that these organizations are put together, there are probably 50 different states where they have the same instructions, and this is how to participate in political activity. There are local principles, strategies for Christians in political parties, and then methods for individual Christians. So it begins with your local principles. The rule is that the world is for God. Rule the world for God. It is for God. Be a servant, according to Matthew in love. Win men for the kingdom of God. C. D. Be wise as serpents and innocent as a dove. E. Live by faith and trust God for the results. F. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Three important foundations, institutions God established, are the family, the church, and your civil government. Although the church is crucial, even though it was founded last, the other two are nevertheless strategic. God wants religious leaders in all three areas. Roman numeral 2, strategies for Christians in political parties. A. To a degree, keep your position on issues to yourself. Jesus didn't overwhelm even his disciples with truth. Only rarely will you change a party regular's mind on an issue. To change their mind, you may want to start in their heart. So love them. Invite them to your house for dinner or something, sometime where you can meet their deeper needs. Give the impression you are there to work for the party, not to push your ideology. Come across as being interested in economic issues. Try not to let on that a close group of friends are becoming active in the party together. If you all join, don't be chummy, spread individually out so they don't make you as a group. B. Play according to the party rules. The number one rule is don't work against an endorsed candidate. The way the rule is stated, support all endorsed candidate. What that means is don't actively support the opponents of endorsed candidates. It is completely within the rules to sit on your hands when you don't like a candidate. The only time when you want actively to impose an endorsed candidate is when you want to make a major statement. You must realize it may hurt your chances for future party leadership. See, hide your strength. When you control a political party, the only time you want to show your strength is when electing officers or technically in voting on resolutions. Everyone votes his own conscience. D. Christians need to take leadership positions. Party officers control political parties, and so it is very important that mature Christians have a majority of leadership positions whenever possible, God willing. E. It is important not to cling house of all non-Christians. Our objective is to win elections, not to take over political parties. Let a few non-Christians in to mingle with you. Politics is a matter of coalitions. Since presumably we Christians are a large minority, we win elections only by forging coalitions. We could wisely gain the rest of the political party's expertise and work and fundraising ability. When you have control of a party, it might yet not be wise to place our people in any and every position. Get the counsel of wise Christian politicians when in doubt. F. At all political conventions, work out a total strategy prior to convention. Very little is done spontaneously. If we are organized, we're about the only ones. We'll be the only ones. Prepare to make all actions. Prepare who will make all notions. It's printed. It's hard to read. Before you go, nothing is spontaneous. Who will make all motions? Have floor leaders, people who you can look to for input on any surprise votes or complicated parliamentary procedures. Become an expert on Robert's Rules of Order and teach these to your people. And finally, methodologist for the individual Christian. Prayer and humility is the key to all political success. Determined to win both friend and foe to the Lord. Don't do anything that will harm your testimony. Don't flaunt your Christianity. This is predominantly friendship evangelism. Don't come across as a one-issue person. Be perceived as a person interested in the whole spectrum of issues. Volunteer for responsibilities. There's no faster way to rise to leadership and be known as a worker. Do whatever is asked of you as well as you can. Try to be the best at whatever you do. Be faithful in attending meetings. Get involved in one organization a year. Determine to be known for your integrity. Commit yourself to demonstrating Jesus to all you come in contact with. Now, this is how to participate in a political party so that the Christians can take over the political system from the ground up. And People for American Way sent out a letter saying that what happened in Iowa happened in Michigan and then Indiana and then Texas. And each of these states, the religious right is winning major elections. They're taking over the political structure. They're rewriting the party platforms. They're laying the groundwork for a national political purification process. And what is worse, they are doing so by preying on bigotry and intolerance and playing a coy game of semantics. They are winning by using subterfuge and dishonesty, by emphasizing lying and deceit, not telling who you are, being prepared, having your answers before things happen. In addition, this memorandum advocates something that is clearly unprecedented and contrary to the spirit of the Constitution's First Amendment, religious right leaders are urging their followers to use the political process to make religious conversions. As outlined in the memo, Pat Robertson's allies are told to win friend and foe to the Lord. Don't do anything that will harm your testimony. Our election project, according to People the American Way, will give Americans information they need to decide if candidates who are seeking office should be getting these jobs. And they're going into the various backgrounds of these people and their activities are proper in the electoral process. Some oppose laws against child and wife abuse because it interferes with biblical teaching. They support theopolitical litmus tests for nominees at the federal bench, including the Supreme Court. They are praying for the death of political opponents as a legitimate tool of American democracy. And in Indiana, a Reverend Greg Dixon, a former state chairman and national secretary for the Moral Majority, urges followers to pray for the death of their opponents, claiming, "We're tired of turning the other cheek. Good heavens, that's all we've done." His court of divine justice is being set up across the country, and they are convicting government officials and praying that they die and be delivered into God's hands. Now, I read that one of the reasons the far-right, religious right, want Senator Cranston to win the election is that then they will all pray for him to die, and he'll die in office. Then Governor Dumagian can appoint a senator who's farther right than Ed Chau. So they're suggesting that you vote for Cranston and then not get Chau in because he's not as far right as the other particular people that they want. In Texas, far-right activists demand that the delegates to the Republican convention sign a statement affirming their religious purity. This litmus test included pledging adherence to the Christian faith, support for a constitutional amendment outlawing abortion under all circumstances, support for the biblical restitution as punishment for a serious crime, and those who refused to take the test were threatened with retaliation by the religious rights political machine. So that they are seeing that all the delegates to these conventions take these tests. And so the far right is taking, according to the People for the American Way, a Rambo mentality. If someone comes along your way and you don't like him, take a swap at him and so forth. And so forth. So that this is a very important move. And he cites at a recent press conference, Paul Wadrick, and he was the founder of Jerry Falwell's church, a Knight of Malta from the Vatican, one of the founders of this political action party and Pat Robertson's closest political ally, launched a new group called the American Election Commission. In a press release, Wadrick admitted that the commission is being organized as a direct response to People for the American Way election project. So they have this going, and that is what they're working on. Now, in the mail, this close friend, a World Watcher who gave me that other material, sent me information on a group called the PACE group. It's called an Amendment Advocates Group to Change the Constitution. It's called the PACE Amendment. You can buy a book, Amendment to the Constitution, Averting the Decline and Fall of America, for $20, or you can become a member advocate for the PACE Amendment for $70 and get the book and a promotional kit and a newsletter on how to pass the PACE Amendment. And this is what the PACE Amendment is. "Dear Sir or Madam," it states, "major problems confront America today. America is inundated by third world legal and illegal immigrants. 350 years of American history is predominantly European descended English speaking nation is rapidly coming to an end. Further, America is beset with rampant sexual promiscuity, loss of faith in God and in Christian ethics, uncontrollable crime, widespread drug abuse, decadence in entertainment, excessive litigation, increasing number of poor, growing national illiteracy, loss of the technological age, decay of public works. These problems are the result of liberal-leaning federal government, not necessarily caused by minorities. But the legal solution, the simple, is simple and direct. Repeal the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. The 14th Amendment has two component parts. It extends citizenship to individuals born in the United States regardless of race or previous condition of servitude, and it contains a due process clause applicable to the states of which a liberal U.S. Supreme Court has used to invalidate state action and gain control over areas reserved for the states. A repeal of the amendment would once again allow states to regulate standards of conduct for the betterment of society and enable the nation to get control of its borders and preserve its national heritage. The third point, legitimacy of the legal solution. Much of America recognizes that immigration is America's most pressing problem. Much of America concurs with the position that our standard of conduct would be elevated through local control, the traditional states' right argument. Further, over the years, legal scholars have petitioned Congress and the courts to invalidate the 14th Amendment because it was illegally proposed, submitted, and ratified during the Reconstruction era of the Civil War. Four, the Pace Amendment. This means to implement the repeal of the 14th Amendment to ratify the draft 27th Amendment, which is called the Pace Amendment because it is proposed by John O. Pace in his book, Amendment to the Constitution, Averting the Decline of America. It has set forth the pertinent parts below. Section 1, the 14th Article, Amendment of the Constitution of the United States be repealed. 2. No person shall be a citizen of the United States unless he is non-Hispanic, white, of European race, in which there is no ascertainable trace of Negro blood, nor more than 1/8 Mongolian, Asian, Asia Minor, Middle Eastern, Semitic, Near Eastern, American Indian, Malay, or other non-European or non-white blood, provided the Hispanic whites, defined as Hispanic ancestors, may be citizens if, in addition, meet the aforesaid ascertainable trace and percentage tests. They are in appearance indistinguishable from Americans whose ancestral home is the British Islands, Northwestern Europe. Only citizens shall have the right and privilege to reside permanently in the United States. 5. The disavowal of racism. The League eschews racism and maintains the Pace Amendment is not racist in any way. The League requires that each advocate holds all peoples in equal esteem. The majority of advocates fully support Section 2 of the Pace Amendment. They believe it is necessary to preserve our nation and is the only fair and sensible approach to a difficult situation. And this includes American Indians are not allowed to stay here either. Multi-level lobbying efforts. Promoting the Pace Amendment, the promotional effort is being conducted through a multi-level lobbying system patterned after the most successful multi-level companies of this nation and abroad. This revolutionary combination of political lobbying with multi-level incentives melds the zeal generated by political ideology with that of large profit potential. Each advocate is encouraged to develop an effective, self-sufficient lobbying network in which the League can coordinate to achieve ratification of the Pace Amendment. Indeed, it is the goal of the League to make the advocates' lobbying network profitable. In order to accomplish this, the advocates' lobbying network will pay a salary to the advocate if he so desires. In this effort, an advocate who wishes to promote the Pace Amendment can attain the financial independence to do so. If you want to work towards promoting this Pace Amendment Section 2, then no person may reside in the United States who is Negro, Hispanic, Mongolian, Asian, Asian Minor, Middle Eastern, Jewish, Near Eastern, American Indian, Malay, or others. You can earn a living. They have a salary to give you, and you can earn money and be financially independent while you do this. Each advocate is urged to develop a lobbying network by soliciting others to purchase the book, Amendment to the Constitution, and to become advocates and commit to monthly contributions. Thank you very much. And this is a statement with a place to send a check, an order form, order the book for $20, or become an advocate of the Pace Amendment. And in that case, you may begin work because you'll get your promotional kit, a year's subscription to the newsletter, and if necessary, they'll put you on a salary to get this going. Now, this is only one step beyond Mein Kampf. It's exactly like Mein Kampf. And people like Bobby Inman of the CIA, of the National Security Agency, who just is leaving one job to go on to another, can work with this mammoth computer company in Texas, the University of Texas, at where everybody, every person in the world could be put into that computer with computerized information. If you want information to order your book or become an advocate, of the PACE Amendment, write to League of PACE Amendment Advocates, P.O. Box 711207, Los Angeles, California, 90071. I think I'll order the book for $20. I won't become an advocate right away until I see what it has to say and how hard I'd work and maybe make a salary being an advocate of the PACE Amendment. But that is just one step further. When Hitler owned Mein Kampf, he told of everything that he was going to do. What he did brought between 50 and 80 million deaths, 50% of those civilian population, and yet the world has allowed us to rearm at this massive escalating scale to go one more time. The insanity is so intense that we can have a repetition, and we will if we use the same agents from before. Then why not the PACE Amendment instead of Mein Kampf is referred as a PACE Amendment. Now, I just want to cite a prayer that was given in the Senate. I don't usually read Senate prayers on the air, but I thought this was interesting. It was Monday, August the 11th, Richard Halverson, the Senate chaplain. And the reason it's so important is that the week that he's speaking about, the Senate was going to take a vacation the next week, and they were going to tangle with a $68 million decision on binary nerve gas. They were going to vote $100 million to the Contras down in Nicaragua and to pass Daniel Mannion as justice of a court in Indiana. And he just got an appointment by Ronald Reagan. He's from Indiana. I think the court he got the appointment to is in Illinois. And the Rehnquist hearings were heating up before the vacation of Congress. It was a very important week that was coming before their vacation. And this is the Senate prayer given by Richard C. Halverson, Senate chaplain. God of truth and order, we are grateful for passage of the Defense Authorization Bill. That was $268 billion for weapons this year. But we regret the cost in time and energy, emotional strain and frustration. Dear God, the Senate faces a week with an impossible load of work. Spare the senators another week of inordinate hours and stress, which threatens dignity, civility, health, and sanity. Father, I honor the Senate and count a great privilege to serve here. I love the senators and respect them, but feel profound concern that it not neutralize its effectiveness by the weight of its own practices. Save it, Lord, from becoming a powerful engine frozen because of the friction of its parts. That means the debates on money to the freedom fighters, the drug-running murderers down in Central America. Save it from the friction of its parts, powerless to maintain its own schedule or to meet its own deadlines. They gave up a few hours of their vacation. Preserve its great and gracious God from becoming a muzzle-bound giant, victim of its own rules, procedures, and precedents. The rules, procedures, and precedents are slowing down something that should be just stamped as if it went over the desk of Hitler. Yes, Austria, yes, Yugoslavia, yes, Hungary, yes, France invaded. Yeah, you know, stamping, nobody to ask. He thinks that the Congress is held down by its rules and procedures. Prove you are real, God, alive and relevant to the political process. Grant to the Senate and its members a special dispensation of grace and wisdom, love and peace. Make this a profitable, productive week of satisfaction and fulfillment in the name of Him who is incarnate love. Now, that was a prayer August 11th. On August 14th, there was a vote on chemical, biological war weapons, new binary nerve gas, and the Senate tied 50-50 on the vote. So George Bush was brought in, the great lover of God in the name of peace and satisfaction. And certainly, he says, make it profitable. Well, it would be very profitable for the Defense Department to have this huge amount, $68 million just for binary gas. And Bush came in and broke the tie in the Senate. The House turned it down. But this is the prayer he said, don't spend so long on your vacations. Don't get bogged down by the rules. God, don't let them fight. Get on with this. And you have a heavy load this week. So after his prayer on the 11th, there was just an article in the Washington Times. Congress returns to a heavy agenda of hot issues, and it lists the problems coming up before their vacation, $100 million for Nicaragua and William Rehnquist hearings and Anton Scalia and Mr. Mannion and the chemical warfare weapons that would go eventually then into the binary nerve and genetic weapons. So this man, as the chaplain of the Senate, is saying, please don't get yourself bogged down with the rules. Just go as fast as you can and get going with them. And we're grateful that you passed the defense authorization bill. Goodness knows how many people that would kill, but he was very grateful that that passed. And that's about the minds of where the people in Washington are and the way they're voting, and also the way the chaplain is thanking God that they got this money for these weapons. Time is up. I had a lot more I wanted to share with you, but this it's just impossible. The hour is up, and it's time to close, so I'll have to continue with the other later. But that's a little sampling of what is going on at the current time, as usual. And this is Mae Brussel. I'll be back with you next week for a few more stories of horror and warfare and the dreams of America sinking as these people get more and more power today.